Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to share this message with you entitled Christianity Isn't for Sissies. In Paul's second letter to young pastor Timothy, Paul said in the second chapter, the third verse, to endure hardness as a good soldier, which is an appropriate word for us today. The world has the idea that Christians are weak, frail, passive little sissies, and we have certainly helped create this image by our unwillingness to take a stand against Satan and his barrage of attacks against the body of Christ. In this message, we will see that God has already given us the victory in every area of our life if only we're willing to take our stand on God's word and refuse to move. I hope this message challenges you to take a stand. By the way, please pardon our sound issues. Be blessed. I'd like to begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful. We're so thankful for all that you have accomplished for us, Jesus, in your death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father, for victory in every area of our lives. And Father, tonight, my prayer is that every person that hears this, that they can come to the realization that they do have the victory, that it has been given to them. And there is a standing, there is an enduring, but there is victory that is available for each and every one of us, that you did not leave us here to get our brains beat out by the devil, but you left us here as more than conquerors. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the reality, for the realization of this in our hearts and in our lives. And I come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. I arrest you now in Jesus' name. Father, by your Holy Ghost, open your word to us and help us to see what we didn't see before in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So this evening, I believe I already have the title for this lesson, and it's something to the effect of Christians are not sissies. And I know that sounds kind of crude, but I really believe that that's the essence of what God wants for me to convey to you. I think that the world has the idea that Christianity is just a religion of pacifists, of people that are just going to be run down, run over, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that we're supposed to go out and pick fights with people by any means, but we're not called to be just run over, particularly by the enemy. And that's who our fight really is with. It's not with people. It's not with flesh and blood. It's with principalities and powers. And we'll look at that scripture in Ephesians chapter 6 as we get into this evening. But the image that I have inside of me of this message tonight that the Lord has given me is I see the church today, and I see people that have this idea that Christianity is, I'll just go to church once a week, sit through a message, you know, give money in the offering, and go home, and I've done my Christian duty for the week. And more, I'm coming to the realization that if Christians don't get out of that mentality, they are in for a very rude awakening. And what do you mean by that, Mark? The enemy, there is an enemy. He is the devil. And John 10:10 tells us what his job is. He's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Stealing, if there's any stealing in your life going on, any killing or destroying, it's the devil. And I can assure you, in some area of your life, the enemy is at work. Now, you might say, well, I don't believe that, Mark. Well, don't you think that the enemy is doing everything he can to try and stop us, to silence us, to get us off of this planet? I heard one preacher recently said he really doesn't care about us. I don't know that that's the case, as far as the enemy not really caring about us one way or the other. You see, we are God's children. We hold a position in the family of God that Satan never had, never will have, and is completely envious of the position that we hold with our Father. You don't think he hates us? Oh, rest assured, he does. And would like nothing more than to destroy each and every one of us. If we let him, he will. That's his job. That's what he's doing here. Stealing, killing, destroying. In any way, shape, or form that's happening in your life, you can rest assured that is the enemy. And he has to be stopped. Now, here's the part where I believe that the body of Christ has some misconceptions. They have the idea that when the stealing and the killing and the destroying is taking place, they're just going to run to God and ask God to get the devil off of their back, to get the devil out of their body. And James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So I want you to think about this. Where in that resisting the devil do you see Christians running to God to get the devil off of their back? It's not there. The responsibility for getting the devil out of our lives lies squarely with the Christian. That's our responsibility. We're more than conquerors, and we have to accept our responsibility and resist the enemy, and he will flee from us. But here's the problem. And I can say this from experience, having preached in church service after church service and having prayer line after prayer line where the people come up and they're asking for prayer, and their prayers so many times were the same as they were the last time that I preached to them. Same prayer request. And it was something to the effect of asking God to heal them or God to deliver them out of something. And the victory has already been given to them. They're oblivious to it. And instead of resisting the enemy for themselves, they want to run to God and have God deliver them. Folks, he's already delivered us. We already have the victory. Look in Ephesians, the very first chapter of Ephesians, in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter 1. Look at what it says here. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Does that sound like it's in the future or in the past? It's in the past. He's already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Everything that the Christian needs has already been laid to their account. Everything. The victory has already been won. It's not, we're not going to the Father and asking Him to do something that hasn't already been accomplished. You see what I'm saying? When we, for example, the devil hits me in some area of my physical body. If I go to the Father and I say, Heavenly Father, would you please heal me of this? You know, I'm sure that many people pray that prayer. Would you heal me of this? And here we see that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings, and we know that 1 Peter 2:24 says, by His stripes we were healed. Isn't that past tense? Yes. We were healed. So the issue isn't asking God to do something as if He's sitting in heaven and think, well, I don't know if I want to heal them or not. They've not been such a good little boy and girl, kind of like Santa Claus. It's not like that. It's already been accomplished. It simply needs to be appropriated. And we do that by faith, receiving what Jesus has already accomplished for us. And the enemy comes. Yes, he comes. And he puts on a big show. And he has the ability to affect us in our body. And the next thing we know, we're fighting with symptoms. And, you know, here he is. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that every time you're sick that you have a devil. I'm not saying that. Sickness and disease, the origin of it, certainly isn't from God. Come on. So we have to understand that when those things come against us, that our healing has already been bought and paid for. And it's up to us to believe and receive what Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. See, this is where there is a hardness, a hardening that needs to take place in believers. I mean, he's sitting there trying to get you to believe that you're going to die of this sickness or this disease, and you look him right in the eye and you speak the word of God and you do not bow, you do not flinch, even when your body is trying to tell you with symptoms that it's hurting. And what do you want to do? You want to go crawl up in the bed and cover your head up and let somebody pamper you? That's what you want to do. That's what the flesh wants to do. You want to just crawl up in the bed. You know, you've got the chills. You got a headache or you got a runny nose or whatever it is. You want to crawl up in bed and, you know, let your husband or your wife wait on you, go get you some chicken soup or something and take care of me. I'm sick. No, you can't. You just cannot afford to just lie there and take it. You have to resist him. Well, how do you resist him? Well, one way is just simply by the words of your mouth, where you confess, body, I command you to line up with the truth of the word of God. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed and I am healed now. Body, you are healed. And you continue to say it and you continue to say it. And then, you know, and the symptoms seems like from that point on they get worse. How can you say that, Mark? I've dealt with this time and time again. And at the point where you think, I don't know if I can take anymore, you just cry out to God for His grace, and He will pour His grace out. And it's up to us individually to not give up, to not fold under the pressure, and to continue to to walk and believe God that we have everything that His Word says that we have. And we continue to say it with our mouth. You have to say it with your mouth. You have to speak God's Word with your mouth over whatever the situation is. And if you'll refuse to quit, and if you'll refuse to lay down and give up, you will have what the Word of God tells you belongs to you. You have to believe that. And I know from my own experience that there are times that the pressure seems like it gets turned up to the point that it is just almost unbearable. And there, I'm telling you, some of the things that I've done, marched around my living room, commanding the symptoms out of my body, marched around the living room and commanded the devil out of my body, off my body, and out of my house, and just get mad about it. Get mad. Get mad at the devil. Don't let him walk all over you. That's what he wants. He wants you to just sit there and take it. Just take it. No. Jesus paid a horrible price so that we wouldn't have to take that junk from this devil. Amen. Now, where am I going with this? Well, let's look at how Paul instructed young Pastor Timothy in line with exactly what I'm saying here. And you're going to find that in his second letter to Timothy. This letter was the one Paul wrote just before he went to be with Jesus. In this letter, you're going to find like a spiritual father talking to his son, giving him everything that he could give him just before leaving the planet. And look at what it says here in chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son. See, even as I say that, I mean, his heart towards Timothy is, you know, such a mentor, you know, such a father figure to Timothy. You know, thou therefore, my son, be strong. Now look at these words. In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Here's a man, and I don't know how far I'm going to get tonight because I got a lot of scriptures marked here, but here's a man that knows about grace and is instructing Timothy to be strong in the grace. If you'll recall, and hold your place in 2 Timothy, in 2 Corinthians, in Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, in chapter 12, you're going to see where he endured. You talk about a fight, an affliction from the enemy. Look at this. We'll begin in verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Who sent it? What was it? It's a messenger of Satan. It's a messenger sent from Satan to buffet Paul, lest he should be exalted above measure. This demon from hell was buffeting Paul. Why? Because of the revelation. You know, the more that you do for the Lord, the more that you draw closer to the Lord, the more that you spend time seeking His face, the more that you endeavor to fulfill the will, plan, and purpose of God for your life, you got to understand that you're going to get the attention of the enemy. If you're just a person that, you know, warms a pew once a week, and like I heard one pastor say, you know, gives your nod to God once a week, you know, if that's your if that's as far as you go with God, you're not much threat. There's not much revelation knowledge going on inside of you. But when you endeavor to fulfill the plan of God for your life, when you endeavor to go and do and follow Jesus, the devil wants, he's got to stop you. But we don't have to be afraid, because we are more than conquerors. He's given us the victory already. And this right here is the point that I feel like is so important, and it's so missed. It's that there is an enduring to stand against the enemy. But the, you know, it, here's the thing. If you won't quit and you won't back up, you will experience the victory. But how many back up and stop? How many of them quit when the pressure gets on? And all the time, the victory is ours. Here is a great example of Paul. Great revelation knowledge. The devil knew he had to stop him. Sends a messenger straight from the pit of hell to buffet Paul. Now, how that translated in Paul's life, I can't tell you exactly how it was. You know, some people believe that he had sickness in his body, that there was, he had eye problems. You know, I'm not going to go down that path and try to figure out what it was, but I can assure you one thing, he was buffeted and it tormented him. And it was so much torment that he went to God three times and asked God, God, would you please get the devil off of my back? Now, isn't that the equivalent of what most Christians pray? You know, they're going to God, and they're, you know, whether it's a sickness in their body, whatever, they go to him, they go to God, and they're basically asking him, God, you know, I'm being afflicted here. Would you please get the devil off my back? Now, why would he answer when any differently than what he answered Paul? See, when Paul's in that situation, verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Three times he goes to the Lord. I'll read it again, verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, this is the Lord saying unto Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Hallelujah. He realized that when he was weak, God was strong in him, if he only would rely on the strength of God to manifest through him. If he would only call out and cry out and receive that grace. Because Jesus said, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. The unmerited, unearnable favor of God was there for Paul. All he had to do was draw on it by faith. So when you turn back over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. Paul learned that lesson himself. Experientially, he learned it. He had gone to God, God, please get the devil off my back. Paul, my grace is sufficient. That didn't mean sit there and just, you know, it's sufficient. Just get your brains beat out, and that's exactly what you're supposed to do. No. It's stand and believe and receive God's grace, and knowing that the enemy is defeated and this battle has an end. It has an end. And that end, you'll only see the end of it if you will refuse to quit. If you'll refuse to lay down and stop. If you'll continue to draw on the grace of God. The grace of God. That's what Jesus himself told Paul. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. You need to know that. Draw on the grace of God. Draw His grace. Because when you're weak, He's strong as long as you believe and receive. And don't quit. You know, if we could only see the other side, if we could only see the enemy and what they're saying to each other and what they're having to endure in order to keep that pressure against us. Because I'm telling you what, if you're worshiping the Lord, if you're thanking God and praising God in the middle of the battle, if you're my wife is just, she just, the Holy Ghost just came on her. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. And he's right. He's coming all over me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you'll, I've almost lost my place here. Hallelujah. His grace is sufficient. I'm telling you, me and Debbie, we can attest to it. His grace is sufficient. He doesn't want you to quit. He doesn't want you to lay down and accept defeat. Don't do that. Hallelujah. You're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. When you are weak, He is strong in you. He's strong in you. His grace. Just draw on His grace. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for your grace. His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's go on now. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 again. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Verse 3 is the target verse. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There you go. There is an enduring. There is an enduring of hardness as a good soldier. You know, this is a battle. This is a war. But it's a war that we win as long as we don't quit. And we are the soldiers in this battle. And the enemy is real. And when he comes at you, he doesn't come at you to leave you standing at the end. When he comes at you, his whole objective is to completely destroy you. But I thank God for the grace of God. Because His grace is sufficient. As long as I won't turn loose of Him. And I won't try to solve the problem myself in my own strength. And I'll look to Jesus and I'll draw from His grace and I'll stand on His Word. His Word will not fail. It will not return void. But it will accomplish the very thing that God intended for it to accomplish when He said it. Glory to God. So there is a hardening. You see, I'll go back again to where I started this. If you're a Sunday morning go to church kind of person, that, you know, you're satisfied with just that, you know, just a little weekly antidote. When the enemy really comes, you're in trouble. Come on. You are in trouble. You're not going to stand the pressure. You'll fold like a, you'll just fold. And that is not what God wants. He wants us to realize that yes, there is a battle. Yes, there is an enduring and a hardness that needs to be worked into us. There is a hardening so that when the enemy comes, bless God, you don't run. You know, to quote one of the statements that I heard Kenneth Hagin make, he said that most Christians have a backbone like a cotton string. You know, he said the kind of backbone that God wants you to have is an iron crowbar type of a backbone. And that's exactly right. You know, he gave us the victory, and he expects us to do something with it. Not run to him and ask him to get the devil off our back. He already got the devil off our back if we will simply stand and believe and command the devil to get off of our back ourselves. You know, it's no different than what you saw in the Old Testament when Joshua took the children of Israel across the Jordan into the Promised Land, which is a picture of the new birth and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, walking into that Promised Land and taking possession of it. And Jesus, or God, told Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, that I have given to you. But you have to tread on that place. You have to walk it. You have to take possession of it. And that taking of possession is an aggressive thing. We're not to be pacifist. We're not to just stand by and let somebody else fight our battles for us. Baloney. That's not Christianity. That is a religious idea. That is wrong. We're supposed to take the battle to the enemy, and we're supposed to take possession of what belongs to us, which is the health of our body, the abundance in our finances, and not just for ourselves. Well, we're supposed to take the lost out of the devil's hands and show, lead them into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That's what we've been called to do. And which brings me to my next scriptures. There in chapter 2, let's go down in that chapter. Paul continues here. He says, verse 10, therefore, I'll start in verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. I'm telling you what, I've read that and read that and read that and never really thought about that. What is he saying here? He suffers trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. I'm telling you, in the last days, you have to know that as Christians, we will suffer trouble as evildoers. They will call us evildoers. Think about that. Think about right now, today in this country, how Christianity, for when you stand for truth, when you say that, you know, abortion is wrong, it's wrong. You are murdering unborn babies. And it's wrong. And God is against it. And you say that. And the society tries to paint a picture like that man right there is an evildoer because he is coming against what we have accepted as normal in our society. See what I'm saying? Paul, this is what Paul was dealing with back then when he would share the gospel, when he would tell the goodness of God, he was marked as an evildoer. You see, if we have this impression that I'm just going to be a good little Christian and everybody's going to love me, I got news for you. That's not the case. Here, Paul, the man that lived the life that so many of us are so intrigued by and so inspired, that's the word, inspired by his life. And the people that lived alongside of him, that the rest of the world looked at him as an evildoer for what he was preaching, which was the gospel. He preached the gospel. He was considered an evildoer. I can see from here going forward in our world today that it's going to become more and more exactly as what Paul experienced. The more you preach truth, the more you show that there is a right and there is a wrong, and that our lives are to be lived according to the Word of God, and that we are to be surrendered to Jesus Christ and Him only. Him only. That there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that is Jesus. And as you preach that, the world will say, well, we want to have multiple ways. We believe that there's many ways to God. We believe that that we're supposed to be all inclusive, that we're supposed to coexist. There's a word that's a horrible bumper sticker. We may exist with them here and live side by side, but I'm going to tell you something. There's only one way to God, and His name is Jesus Christ. And that's just the way it is. So, as you share that, as you share the truth with people, are they going to view you as an evildoer? Well, you'd have good company then, because they did that with Paul. So what do? Not share? Do you just sit by silently? Are we not supposed to try and give people the truth and give people the opportunity to accept Jesus and to be saved and to go to heaven and to live with Jesus forever? Well, of course we are. So there's going to be a battle to do this. And the battle is going to increase. And they may look at us as evildoers, but the truth will never change. And we have to stand for that truth, and we have to deliver that truth, and we have to do it unflinching. We have to do it with love and compassion for the people that are caught in that sin, that are blinded by the enemy, because they are truly blinded by the enemy. Let me read the rest of this here in 2 Timothy. Wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. The word of God's not bound. So just share the word. Share God's word. Give them the truth. Don't compromise the truth. Don't pick and choose what you want to share that's truth. Just share the truth. Verse 11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. We're going to be looking at the beginning in verse 35. Because this part in Paul's letter to the church at Rome in chapter 8 here, this part, the reason why I believe the Holy Ghost is wanting me to share this part is to encourage you, to help paint the image on the inside of you that we're not the ones fighting a losing battle. That's the enemy. We're the ones that are more than conquerors. So let's read this. Beginning in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. I know that doesn't sound really exciting, but don't stop there. Verse 37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. See, we are more than conquerors in all of these things. You know, Jesus conquered it for us and gave us the victory. We have the victory. That's why we're more than conquerors. He did it and gave it to us. But the only way that you experience it is when you take the Word of God, you stand on it, you speak it out your mouth, you believe that you receive what the Word of God says for whatever the attack of the enemy is against you. And you refuse to give up, you refuse to quit no matter how strong the pressure is against you. And I can tell you something, at times it gets pretty stinking strong. And you want to quit. And you want to lay down. But you can't. You can't because you already have the victory. You already have it. It's already yours. And the enemy is sitting there lying to you, telling you, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to be financially destroyed. And if you'll give ear to the enemy, he will convince you of that, and you will be destroyed. But you don't have to accept that defeat. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, glory to God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. Go over, if you will, to Ephesians. Chapter 6. Here we have, in the sixth chapter, we have the what's commonly referred to as the armor of God. Let's begin in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. What is this being strong in the Lord? Being strong in the grace. See, this is the same writer, Paul. He's not saying anything different than what he said to Timothy. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in his grace. Hallelujah. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Right here, rest assured there are wiles of the devil. There's no doubt about it. You can just count on it. And you're going to face him if you have any intentions whatsoever of progressing in your spiritual walk with Jesus. You are going to face the enemy. Now, even if a person just is a pew setter, there's still going to be times you're going to face the enemy. But particularly if you're a person that has made the decision, I'm going to have all of God that I can have, I'm going to fulfill His will, plan, and purpose for my life, you have a big target on your back. Just face it. But don't be scared by it, and don't back off because of it. See, that's where you make the mistake. When you pull back, when you draw back, that's when the enemy has you. He's not going to stop. So just face it and continue on speaking the word against the situation, thanking God for the answer, thanking God for the victory. Hallelujah, Jesus, I have the victory. I am more than a conqueror. And you might do that and you don't feel like it one little bit. you might have a cold, for example. I thank you that I have victory over this cold. I thank you that I am healed by Jesus' stripes. And you're coughing and you're hacking. I don't go by what I see, feel, hear. I go by what the Word of God says. And when you will make that kind of a declaration and you'll stand on it and you won't move and you won't go to the right or the left, but you'll stand on His word, I can assure you, His word will not fail you. Hallelujah. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our battle, is not against our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Although I can tell you from experience that the enemy loves to use those people to come against you. He uses the weaknesses in the people around you that are the closest to you, the ones that your heart is open to them. And he'll use the weaknesses of them to try and hurt you if you allow that to happen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. And see what happens, the enemy, he works through those weaknesses. But ultimately, it is these principalities, these powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. See, that's the hierarchy in the kingdom of darkness. See, there is levels, there's the principalities is the highest level. Then powers is the next. Rulers of the darkness of this world is the next level. Spiritual wickedness in high places, the lowest level devil. That's the one that we face on a regular basis. But see, these are the things that we war against. It's not against flesh and blood. But flesh and blood is what he works through as they, you know, in the attack. So you have to be aware of that. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And we'll stop right there. The shield of faith. The shield of faith. If you will stand in faith. Faith in what? The Word of God. You've been attacked in the area. Whatever it is. You find in God's Word the promise that deals with that. You continue to say it. You speak to your body if it's a physical thing. You speak His word over your body. You command the devil to get off of your body. Now, in this resisting the enemy and he shall flee from you, you know, it's not just a one time and he's gone forever. Oh my goodness. I wish that was the case. But there is a resisting him. Now, he may leave, like, for example, when Jesus was tempted and the devil left for a more opportune time of something to that effect is how it says it. But he's going to come back, and you have to resist him then. So don't just think don't think it's going to go on forever. This battle is going to be on forever. No. You know, the standing isn't indefinitely, but it doesn't mean that when you've won this battle that there's not going to be another one. There will be. So it's all of this is what? It is part of that hardening process as a good soldier. We're a soldier. We're in God's army. Yes, we're in the family of God, and he's our Father. But, you know, here we're looking at armor. What is armor for? It is used for battle. He said to Timothy in the second letter to endure hardness as a good soldier. Here we have armor. Hey, this is a war. And the enemy's intention is to flat out destroy us. If we let him, he will do that. But we don't have to. So, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Take his word. It is the offensive weapon that we have, and speak it out your mouth. Speak it. Say his word. Speak to the mountain. Use the word of God. And if you will continue to do that, see, here's something that I'm fairly certain happens a good percentage of time. People will hear about the message of confessing God's word, and they'll try it for a while, and they'll see some results, and then they'll stop. And I liken this to taking a vitamin. It's not one of those things that, you know, you're going to see instant, immediate effect on, but it is every time you're saying God's word, every time you're speaking the positive confession over yourself, it's like you're taking a vitamin. You're taking the vitamin of God's word, and it is doing something on the inside of you. It is changing you from the inside out. And this is what's going to cause you to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always. Look at this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Praying in tongues. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in other tongues. Go over to 1 Corinthians 14. Paul's letter here. To the first letter to the church at Corinth, he is talking to them in the 14th chapter about tongues, about praying in tongues, and about speaking in tongues in the public assembly. He goes back and forth here, and I'm not going to get into all that. But I want to draw your attention in the 14th chapter to verse 18. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Here's the man who's teaching the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 6 about putting on the armor of God, praying in other tongues, praying always in the Spirit. And here he's saying, I pray in tongues more than you all. There has to be a connection here with praying in tongues and the effect that it has on us, and there certainly is, in our development, our spiritual development, in the understanding of the Word of God, that the revelation of truth, and it all comes from what Jesus told us in John chapters 14 and 16. So if you'll turn there real quick as we wrap this up for this evening. In John 14, Jesus said in verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." The Holy Ghost has been sent here to abide with us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now go over to chapter 16 in verse 13 of John. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come." Now, look at that part where it says, "He will guide you into all truth." Think about guiding into all truth and what in the armor of God. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." That loins girding about with truth, and you have the Holy Spirit who's come to guide you into all truth. Do you see a connection there? And then Paul, it has said that I pray in tongues more than you all. There's a connection between the praying in tongues, the teacher, the Holy Ghost, and this revelation of truth, having our loins girt about with truth, being able to be equipped with truth, not just where we're reading it, but where we're being taught by the Holy Ghost himself through how? How do I empower him to teach me? Praying in other tongues. Hallelujah. Going back there to chapter 16 and verse 7 of John. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send him." It's expedient. Jesus is saying, look, it is imperative. It's imperative that I go so that the Comforter will come. He's here. The Helper is here. He's here to help us. We don't have to be little sissies running around begging, trying to get God to get the devil off our back. We have the Comforter who's come, the Holy Ghost, the power of God to come and live inside of us, to dwell within us, to be baptized, immersed in the Holy Ghost, to be able to pray in other tongues and allow him to unfold truth to us. Hallelujah. So that we are equipped with God's armor to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Hallelujah. We're more than conquerors. The devil's no match. He's no match for us because we have God's Word, and we have the teacher to show us how His Word, to show us the truth of His Word. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I thank you that you didn't leave us here to get beat up by the devil. We're not sissies. Hallelujah. We are your children. We're more than conquerors. And I thank you for this truth, and that we will stand and continue to stand and endure hardness as a good soldier, and we will walk in victory all the days of our life. And we thank you for it. Thank you for your grace. We draw from your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you would like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.